Beaudesert. By the way, you can walk in the door and pick up anytime you want. You'll be heartily welcome. It's all biblical. It's all historical fact. It's just going through Daniel to see what it's all about and what it means for us. Why did God give those visions? And what was he trying to tell us? And I believe he's trying to tell us how to be ready for when Jesus comes. And so it's good to know that we have a God that loves us that much, that he wants to share with us the future that's going to unfold, so that we're not caught out, so to speak. Okay, we're here today. Our lesson today is number 3, New World Order. And before we move any further, I'd like to have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we're here willingly to hear what Daniel is trying to tell us. Now, we've had the statue in Daniel chapter 2, and we see that different nations want to be in charge of the world. And I know that you have a different plan. And Father, we need to look at that today. So Lord, as we do it, may the Holy Spirit once again be our teacher and guide. And we eagerly desire your presence with us as well. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so what we'll be looking at today is 5 evidences that Daniel's prophecy will be fulfilled. Other prophets who joined Daniel in predicting the future world, the coming of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and the dawn of the true space age. We're going to be looking at that. So it's in his search for the meaning of his dream, Nebuchadnezzar has put Babylon's wise men and astrologers to the test. Though they were supposed to understand the mysteries of the future, they failed the king badly. On the other hand, Daniel gave Nebuchadnezzar a series of 5 long-term predictions, which have now been fulfilled beyond question. He said that Babylon would fall, and it did, to Medo-Persia. He also predicted next that Medo-Persia would fall, and it did, to Greece in 331. He predicted that Greece would also fall eventually, and it did, to Rome. And after Rome would just break up, divide, said Daniel. And it did. It's no longer joined together. They've tried in different ways. Just lately, it's the European, not the European common market, but this Brexit thing is Britain's exit. And that makes news all the time, but you get the idea. They're just not adhering one to another. Who said that? Daniel said that. And Daniel claimed that the division would remain until the end of time. This prediction has now stood true for 1,500 years, and it will stay true until the Lord comes, right? All right, so the accurate fulfillment of all these 5 long prophecies provide strong evidence that Daniel was truly guided by a divine mind. Considering the fact that all 5 events have occurred and occurred in the sequence foretold, we can have confidence in the 6th event, the coming of the everlasting kingdom, and we can be confident that it's sure to take place. Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar, the dream is true, the dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. So, sure to take place. All right, future world kingdom. Now, this is where, if you've done your homework, have you all got a copy of Lesson 3?
Yes.
Okay, have you all got a pen?
Yes.
Have you all got an envelope?
No.
No? It's okay, wait till the end. I'll make sure that someone hands out the envelopes. Should be a lock on that door. All right. We're into the questions now. Now, question number 1, what did Daniel say to show that God will one day take complete control of the world? This is Daniel 2, 34, 35 and 44, 45. He said, and in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a
kingdom
which shall never be destroyed. So the word is kingdom, shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, because it's people themselves that have wanted to dominate that arena, that wanted to be the boss, want to be rulers. And it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and this one that does this, it shall stand how long? Forever, forever and ever. Okay, give you a chance to write that in, and then we'll look at question two. Now, this is interesting, considering what I see being promoted. Question two says, and the stone that struck the image became a great mountain, and it filled... Oh, not just Israel? So it's not localized? It's globalized? It is, isn't it? It's the whole earth. So it's not localized, but fills the whole world. I just need to point that out. There are some people that think it's going to happen in a certain location. It's the whole world takes place. Question three. Will this kingdom be introduced by political coalition, by a political coalition, or by military force, United Nations resolutions, or any other methods? And it says there, you watch while a stone was cut out. How?
Without hands.
That's right. You saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain again in verse 45. For, same thing again, isn't it? Without hands. The RSV says, cut out by no human hand. And verse 45, cut from a mountain by no human hand. And the NIV says, not by human hands. So they're picking up on it, aren't they? This is a supernatural event. Nobody on the face of this earth is doing this. It's God Almighty. Fernand, you want to make comment? No? Good. Oh, that's good. It's good to have your head elder agree with what you say. All right. While it is right for all of us to do everything possible to bring peace, order and prosperity, God alone can change the present tragic conditions. What human genius could undo the complex tangle of current affairs? Not by human hands, said Daniels. The God of heaven will set up a kingdom. All right, question four. In what ways is God's coming kingdom completely different from all others before it? Now, before we start diving in and calling out answers, with this four up there, any ideas? Never be destroyed, will it? Is that true? Not too many sure about that. Oh, that's good. It's good to be sure. Will it be left to other people? We just read that it won't be, didn't we? So that's... won't be left to other people. Will it consume all these other kingdoms?
Yes.
Wow, yeah. And of course the last one, also a yes. So that was an interesting choice, wasn't it? You get to tick all the boxes. Well, that's good, because the coming kingdom is going to tick all the boxes. Very good. All right. What are some of the present world conditions which you think would need to be changed? And I know it's got room for an answer. But what do you think? I don't have an answer written down here, so let's just throw this open. Come on, what are some of the world conditions?
Anarchy.
Where's anarchy?
Just about in every country.
Okay, all right.
Famine?
Yeah, a lot of famine. There's a child dies every, 6 seconds or something, you hear. What else would we like to see? Wars? Yeah, I'd like to see wars done away with, absolutely.
Earthquakes?
Yep. Yep, famine, which we've already said. Okay. Is that all? I like to think that there wouldn't be a single politician trying to tell me what I shouldn't be doing. I'm a little bit sick of political correctness. It's biblical correctness that will get you to heaven, not political correctness.
Yeah.
It does, yeah. All right. And I think God, who was in charge originally, would be the ideal boss. So there you go. All right. That's right, yeah. Yes. And then we don't have anarchy. Okay. Any other statements? Because we can move on if not. All right. Question number five then. Coming new world ruler. Now, question five says, all the leading prophets of Bible times gave the same message as did Daniel regarding God's coming kingdom. Who did the prophet John say would be the king of this kingdom. And this comes from Revelation 11:15, and it reads, the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, or his Messiah. Yes. And he shall reign forever and ever. Can you see where it's not just a single prophecy, it's repeated in Scripture. It's very clear that it's going to be a real event. And that's what we're looking forward to. Some of us sooner than others. Probably all of us now sooner than others. I don't relish the next 50 years. I'm just, praise the Lord, that I don't have to live them. And you young people, you should be afraid. Okay, I shouldn't say that, should I? All right, question six. What title did the prophet John see written on Christ's robe on his return? This is beautiful. A name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yes, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Which is quite interesting, you know, because King of Kings is a special title. And Daniel actually said once to Daniel when he was talking to him, you are a King of Kings. So it's a position that one strives to be in charge of all others. Only God's not striving, he's just going to be it. King of Kings. Many rulers since Nebuchadnezzar has aspired to be king over the kings of the earth, but the true King of Kings is Christ, he's the rightful owner of the world. All right, let's look at this second coming of Jesus. This unit gives the prophecies of Christ's coming just as they're written in the New Testament. It's in literal, non-symbolic language. So, just going to mention that. All right, question seven. What prophecy did Christ himself make which shows that he intended to come the second time? John 14:1-3. Yes, he will come again. He says, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Yeah. That's one of the first promises we learn, I think, as Christians. It's a wonderful promise. So it wasn't General MacArthur that first said, I'll be back, or Arnold Schwarzenegger either. Jesus said it 2,000 years ago. There we go. Question eight. How will his second coming differ from his first coming as the newborn child of Bethlehem? Actually, before we answer this one, what is the difference between the two comings? Off the top of your head.
Christ touched the earth in the first, he's not going to touch it in the second.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. I was thinking of something a bit more theological, but that's quite practical what you said, yes. The first time he came to? Came to die. He came to cover our sins. Came to save us, redeem us. The second time he comes back is to take us home. First one is to redeem us from our sins, and the second time is to take us away from a sinful planet to a home of righteousness. So there's a whole range of those first and second differences. Here it says, when you see the Son of Man coming, he'll be coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. I don't know that that's a difference. It is a difference, isn't it? When he came, he was a baby. Not too much power and glory there. In fact, he was announced to the world by shepherds, which is not a bad thing. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Amen. He may not be dead yet, but his death warrant has certainly signed. He will be dead, yep. And everybody will then go, amen. All right, occasionally, oh, hang on, one more. Also, in Matthew 25, we're told he will sit on? Yeah, throne of his glory. Yeah, that's wonderful. All right, occasionally we hear claims that Christ has been reborn somewhere on earth, or will suddenly appear from some secluded place, or come secretly or invisibly. I've read that different faiths have it, he's coming invisibly. Others, people have claimed to be Christ. In fact, we've had a group of our own people that got caught up in such a movement. The Branch Davidians, where David Koresh called himself the Messiah. So, and as much as I feel sorry for the victims, if you know your scriptures, you will know not to buy into these premises. When Jesus comes again, everybody's going to see him. But what did he talk about? Jesus actually warned about this. He said in Matthew 24:25, did anybody have some points written down about his coming?
False Christ, false prophets.
Yeah, I got that. False Christs, false prophets. Yeah, there's lots of miracles. It'll be like lightning. As lightning is seen in the west from the east, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. It's going to be visible. We can flick over to Revelation 1:7 if you want. Someone would like to do that for us. And Acts 1:9-11. Acts 1:9-11, I'll read. 1:9-11. Now, when he had spoken these things, this is Jesus himself, while they watched, his disciples watched, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into the heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. If they saw him go up with the clouds, how is he going to come back? The exact same way. That's what we got recorded here. Revelation 1:7, who's got that?
Look, he comes with clouds of heaven, and everyone will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the nations of the earth will weep because of him. Yes, amen.
How many will see him?
Everyone.
There's no being fooled by that final event. All right. The return of Christ to earth is mentioned 318 times in the New Testament. It's an average of once every 25 verses. It's going to be a very overwhelming spectacle when it's all done. All right. It's interesting that you read that all tribes will mourn, Helen, because in Matthew 24 and question 9, will the coming of Christ be welcomed by all earth's people? And it says there that all the tribes of the earth will
mourn.
And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. The mourning comes from the many who have rejected Christ. They must now meet him face to face. One of the saddest verses in the Bible is found in Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14, about the wide gate. And broad is the road to destruction, and the narrow gate, which leads to eternal life. And then it says, only a few find it. That wasn't a prediction of Jesus. That was just a statement of fact. And I find it very sad. It's one of the most saddest verses there are, because he's really saying that out of this many people in the world, there's this many people going to make it, you know? We've got how many, 17 billion people in the world? And I know we've got a lot of Christians, but how well connected, because Jesus did say that some are going to come up to him and say, Lord, Lord, and he's going to say, I never knew you. So, and that no, by the way, is very biblical. It's an intimate relationship. If you haven't got Jesus here, real close to you, if he's just a subject or a cartoon character or a comic character or somebody that you hear about once a week and go home and do your stuff, that's not a relationship. So, yeah. It's about having a relationship. Fernand.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of Noah. You think Noah preached for like 20 years. And how many were saved then?
Eight.
Only a handful.
Yeah, eight.
In the
ark, the others rejected. I've got no idea how many people were in the earth. I doubt whether it was 1 million, but I doubt whether it was 100,000. But if it was 50,000, eight in 50,000 is a...
is a drop in the ocean. And in Elijah's time, he thought he was the only one. He thought he was the only one. But God had to correct him and say, hey, you know, there are 7,000. But 7,000, there would have been over a million Jews, probably two or three. Who knows? It was quite a nation by this time. Only 7,000. No, 7,000 had not bowed the knees to Baal. Yeah. Very sad. Okay. So, the morning comes from, yeah, so that question 10. How many of the world's nations will be involved? Will anybody be omitted? And Matthew again, Jesus in Matthew said, all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. Then the king will say unto those on his right hand, come you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That means that when the foundation of the world was in process and Lucifer got shot earthward, our beings up in heaven said, we've got to have a plan B. Jesus said, I'll be the sacrifice, slain from the foundation. May not have died then, but the plan was set in motion then. Wow. And question 11, and we were just talking about this, what will be for the verdict for those on the left hand? Then he will say to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed. How sad. I never knew you, yeah. Now, on page 13, we have a study exhibit. Some of the main events that take place at Christ's coming. It's on page 13. Sorry. Question 12 is coming after this. I just want to talk about the exhibit first, and then we'll go back to question 12. Okay. All right, so here we have the Bible says that Christ's return on earth will be, it's going to be personal. We read that, didn't we, 1, 9 to 11? This same Jesus. And also it's going to be, sorry? Where are we now? We're on page 13. Yep. Page 13. There is a page 13. There it is. Yep, okay. And secondly, it will be, it'll be visible. So none of this invisible stuff. He doesn't come invisibly. It's going to be visible. Every eye will see him. It will be audible with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God. Yeah, be very audible. It will be glorious. Now, I've read those texts dozens of times. I don't can't put my finger on what glorious really means. It's, what is, out of this world, coming into this world, interesting, yep. Yeah. Spectacular is what I come up with, blinding, yeah. From the Shekinah glory that's in the most holy place. Yeah, blinding, bright, vivacious, spectacular, breathtaking. I think we've explored that, and I think now we're getting the idea. Glorious is going to be absolutely fantastic. And by the way, if it's breathtaking, everybody's going to see it. They're going to know what it is when they see it. They're going to have to. And it will be earth-shaking, yes. Yes, sky recede like a scroll. Earthquakes, yep. And my, we're getting plenty of earthquakes these days, so I think times are coming quickly, you know. All right, and the happenings on earth, well, the righteous will be, righteous dead will be resurrected. If he comes in 50 years' time, I'm hoping I'm one of those. That'll be good, yep. Yep, and then after them, the righteous living will be changed. I think the dead will be changed too. I'm pretty sure they don't come up as righteous zombies. So they come back as...
When the righteous dead will be resurrected.
Yes, they will be living. They'll be fully formed bodies. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and in fact, 1 Corinthians 15 it says, "Behold, I tell you a secret: we will all be changed in a flash, in a twinkling of an eye, and we will all be changed. Yeah, and our bodies will put on spectacular bodies." I've got a theory on that. I don't know if this is the time to share, but I believe that all adults come back at age between 20 and 25. You know why? Because if Adam and Eve were created at that level where they could have children, go forth and multiply, I'm sure they weren't in their hundreds at that age. So I'm just thinking, and they weren't meant to grow old. Because when, you know, surely you will die, or dying you shall die, the Hebrew reads, they grew old and died. I'm growing old, and guess what's going to happen to me? You get the picture. I think we come back and we have those bodies. Looking forward to it. Frank, how would you like to be 20 again? Billo. Clive. Faye. Wouldn't it be good? Harold. 50 again. 20 again. Not 50 again. Even 50 again would be good for some of us. All right. Okay. Now, the righteous will be gathered from the four winds. Wherever you are, wherever you interred, buried, if you lost a limb at sea, if you got lost at sea, from everywhere you're going to be gathered. I love that verse. It's totally brilliant. That's from Jesus himself. And then the righteous will meet Christ where?
In the air.
In the air. Right. Yes. And then after that, what happens to the living wicked people? Well, they die. They die from the presence of his coming. Yeah. Until a day in the future, which we'll discuss at another time. This is just the events at the coming of Jesus. All right, so we're coming to the question 12 now. Any questions on that? Who wants to be there?
Amen.
Oh, I like that. That's good. It's good for our radio audience to hear that amen too, by the way. That's good. All right, number 12. When did Jesus say the kingdom would be set up? And he did say this. When did Daniel say, not Jesus, when did Daniel say the kingdom will be set up? And in the days of these kings. So that's a plurality. So you're talking about the bottom 10, which is still going on for the last 1,500 years. The God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Now, in the days of which king did Daniel mean? I must have jumped the gun a bit. All right, please put a tick in the correct box. Notice it didn't have plural there. Did it strike the head of gold? No way, because he's come and gone. What about the silver chest? Oh, what about the silver chest and arms? No. And the Greeks have come and gone, although we still have Greece, which is wonderful. What about iron, Rome ruling the world? Well, then it's only got to be one other place, doesn't it? Which... there it is, the last one. Yeah. Our divided world after the breakup of the Roman Empire at the end. In the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom. All right, now the earth's renewal. Now, this is different from heaven. You realize that, don't you?
Oh, yes.
That's... answered his own question. Good. Yeah, and we're coming into that. Yep. But how do we know it's the earth is where people end up, not just heaven? Because everybody talks about going to heaven, and that's a cool place to start. But that's not our permanent residence. That's just God's abode, which is allowing us to stay while other things take place. It will, because he's going to set up his camp on this planet.
Yeah.
This is going to be the center of his universe.
That's right.
Yeah, but that's a bit further down the track. But you're on the ball. You're on the ball. Okay, now, remember the Lord's Prayer. Question 13. This is beautiful. Your kingdom come, your will be done where?
On earth.
As it is done where? as it's done in heaven. Yeah, this is beautiful. So this is the Lord's. This is what we're supposed to pray, be praying for. God's got a good system working up there for him. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could have that same system working for us down here? And it is going to happen. It is going to happen because he's going to make it happen. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. Question 14. What else did Jesus say which indicates that his kingdom will be located on earth? Love this. Quite simply, in the Beatitudes, beginning the Lord's Sermon on the Mount. And by the way, the Sermon on the Mount isn't how to behave in order to get to heaven. It's a set of instructions for inhabitants of heaven to start living it now. You go through that. If you believe in Jesus and want to follow him, every one of those instructions is how we're supposed to be living right now. Totally wonderful, that. There's a sermon there. I've got one home on that, but anybody else wants to jump in, you're welcome. All right. And he said in that sermon, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit what? The earth. It's there, isn't it? There's the promise. And by the way, meek is humble. It's kind, it's courteous, it's not weak, it's not pathetic, it's doing the right thing. So blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. And question 15, love this, Revelation 21, Peter also saw this and shared it. John the prophet in Revelation saw a vision of the future earth. How did he describe what he saw? Revelation 21, 1-5, and I saw a new heaven, and a new earth. Now that Greek word new, and even though it's here, the word new, there's two words for new. One is brand new and one is renewed. And God's taking what he already created and we wrecked and renewing it. And it's not a, he's not getting the planet and throwing it away and putting another one in its place. He's fixing it up. The original was in good nick the first time. It was in very good condition. In fact, it was, for want of a better word, perfect. And we wrecked it. So that's what he's going to fix up. And that's not the purpose for the 1,000 years either. Because if God spoke the first time and it was there, surely when the time's right, he can speak again and it's there again. So, yeah. All right. Though great reaches of space, that's not easy to read, separate the worlds, the new earth will not be isolated from God's heavenly kingdom. The whole universe will be at one with God. The true space age will have come, the age of everlasting peace. And there's a lot of speculation about space travel. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to be content to be in heaven for 1,000 years and then down on the earth. I'm looking forward to growing my own grapes like this. You know, when they went into the promised land, Caleb and Joshua, and they carried out this huge bunch of grapes. I'm looking forward to saying to my wife, peel me a grape. And it's just going to have so much meaning, you know. Yeah, looking forward to that. That's your new earth. And I love question 16 where it says, should we find it hard to believe that the world of the hereafter will be a new country? In Hebrews, it was made very clear they're looking for a better country in which God has prepared a city. This is what God has prepared for us. Okay, now it's important note, some passages of scripture indicate that a period of time will elapse between the second coming and the actual renewing of the world. That's something to discuss at a later time. It's not related to this seminar. If I get to do a Revelation seminar, won't be this year but next year, I will most certainly talk about that in detail. All right, the certainty of Daniel's prophecy. Daniel's message to Nebuchadnezzar was as clear as day. If Nebuchadnezzar and all would-be world conquerors had heeded it throughout time, the human family would have enjoyed a happy history, but they didn't. All struggles of mankind to bring the world and its people into subjection will fail. When his time comes, God will terminate man's works, create a new world order, a better land, an everlasting kingdom without crime, sickness, and death, and it will stand forever. Just think about it. No keys, because you don't need locks. No hospitals, because no one gets hurt. No police. No prisons. No armies. we'll all just have these luscious gardens and we'll own them ourselves. We'll build our own homes and do that ourselves. It's going to be one fantastic place. Read Isaiah sometime. It's got a lot of good pictures in there. I'm not going to read on Exhibit 2 on page 13. There's some signs. And how am I doing for time? Just have a quick look. No.
22.
Yeah, 22. Well, very quickly, some of the signs. This is on Exhibit 2, page 13. Signs in the international world, earthquakes, famine, pestilences, wars and rumours of wars. This much you know, and there's always wars going on. There's never been a period of peace on this planet for, well, for thousands of years. Earthquakes are coming in increasing tempo, more and more. Patty, I think we were talking about that last time we met. They're just more and more famines and pestilences. You think with all the resources and all the skills we got, we would have gotten rid of pestilences and famines. We haven't, and we can't. Nation against nation, nations angry, claims of peace and safety, all that stuff. Sign on the social world. Well, I just remember, I'm not even going to quote from this. Jesus said, as in the days of Lot and as in the days of Noah, you know, not believing. I think of Rome when it fell. Do you know what they legislated before Rome fell? That had gone to absolute decadence and they'd actually legislated homosexuality just before it was invaded and Rome fell. I know I'm speaking publicly, but what the Lord doesn't like, when society gets to a degradation point where family units no longer exist, and you heard me talk about that last week in the sermon as well, you break up the family, you break up society. Society will crumble and fall. And we're getting very close to that. Sign in the religious world, unbelief about Christ's return, diminishing faith, departure from truth and fanciful speculation. And some of it's really fanciful. False messiahs. However, on a positive note, the gospel will be preached to all the world, and it's getting there now. And there's going to be a worldwide movement proclaiming the gospel of judgment, true worship, and the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And brothers and sisters, that had better be us. All right. Question 17. What did Peter say about the society of the world made new? This is lovely. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which dwelleth righteousness, or righteousness dwells, whichever way you want to write that magic word. It's not a magic word. It's a word that we crave for. Aren't you sick of all the unrighteousness that goes on? How it impacts all the time. Looking forward to complete righteousness. Question 18. Why does God want to create an everlasting kingdom out of this failing, troubled world? And quite simple. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world. What happened there? I must have blotted that out. Oh, no, there it is there. They have everlasting life. That's the slide I wanted to put there. For God so loved the world. All right, question 13. 19, yeah. Oh, sorry, mine's a bit erased there. Question 19. Daniel finished his interpretation to Nebuchadnezzar by saying, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain and its interpretation is sure. Did Nebuchadnezzar believe in God? Yes. Not entirely. No. Not entirely. He did eventually. So it's a bit of a trick question. I've got yes here because that's what I was instructed. Sorry. Yeah, I think that's it. Just make a note. I'm going to put eventually on that, yeah. Because he did eventually. And look, we can look back and smile at this, but how many people do we know? It takes 3 or 4 seminars, or it takes 6 months or 6 years or 60 years in some cases for them to come to that realization. But we have a God that hangs on and wants us all in the kingdom. That's what I get from Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, here's a question for you. Do you welcome the prospect of God's eternal kingdom? And there you get a bigger yes. There you go. All right. Now, looking at time, optional questions. It's still working, yeah. All right. In what ways do you think we're helped by knowing that Christ will return? This is just off the cuff. In what way? We have something to look forward to. Without that, there'd be nothing. Would it be hopeless, do you think? A hopeless place to live? Oh, peace of mind, okay. Children of the faith? Yeah, I like that too. Well, one would hope we wouldn't believe anything else, yes? That's correct, if you've got Christ's righteousness. If. Faith. We have hope. We have hope. Yeah, that's right. Raison d'etre. Yep. A reason to be, French. Okay, if you do not know or did not believe in Christ's second coming, what would you expect as to the future of this world? Yeah. Well, yep. If you didn't believe, if you didn't know or didn't believe, yeah, that's what you'd expect. I'll be honest with you, this survey's taken of kids of the 60s and 70s and 80s. It's a bit different now, but back then they were worried whether because the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, right? They were wondering whether or not we wouldn't blow ourselves out of existence. But even now you've got countries like Iran and others that are creating bombs, North Korea. Yeah, it's pretty scary, isn't it? All right, we're going to come to that very important thing on the envelopes. Now, can we make sure that everybody's got an envelope, please? Okay, because on there is an opportunity to consider some important things. You see those little boxes on the left-hand side, important things to consider? If you agree with me on these next three statements, and I'll put them up there, important things to consider, I'll get you to tick the box. Now, I've only got three things this time. So if you tick box 4 and 5, I'm going to have no idea what you're talking about. Okay, so 1 to 3. And you don't have to tick them if you don't agree or if you've got doubt. It's not that important. It's just a sort of gauge. All right, first one is, does this prophecy of Daniel bring you hope that there are better days ahead for our suffering world? Am I on your way, Patty? It's just occurred to me now. Okay. All right. If your answer is yes, put a tick in box number 1. Does this first prophecy of Daniel bring you hope that there are better days ahead for our suffering world? And number 2. Okay. Now, out there is a sheet of paper with attendance record, which would be helpful if you're attending to write your name down and just tick which lesson that you've attended. These quiz envelopes, at the end of all, I'm going to tote them all up, and the one with the best score, I'm going to buy a family Bible, a nice big white family Bible, and that will go to the one who has done the best with the quiz. Okay? And we require 100% honesty from you folk. And I know not one of you would try to cheat just to get a Bible. Seems to be a contradiction, wouldn't it? All right. Number 2. Does Bible prophecy indicate to you that we must all meet Christ in person one day? And question number 3, which is, I'm not going to say it's a moot point, but I'm going to throw it up there anyways. Is, do you welcome the prospect of eternal life? Number 3. Sorry? Do you welcome the prospect of eternal life in a perfect world? That sounds good, doesn't it? All right. Now, there's a quiz that's on your in your pamphlet. For those who had a chance to do it, but I will go through them slowly, one at a time. There's five questions, six questions. And by the way, there's only six answers, so there's one per quiz, so that should help you. There's multiple choice. Have you got your quiz page open? Okay, review quiz. This is on today's lesson. The first question is, what were the reactions to the image prophecy? Was the king doubtful about Daniel's interpretation? Did the astrologers, were they slightly wrong in theirs? Or did the king believe Daniel's interpretation? Okay, have you all had a chance to select an answer for that one? Any, wait. Patience, it's one of the fruits of the spirit. It's long suffering, patience. It's number four, and I did make it up. Paul wrote it in there. Who said A? Who said B? Well, how many of you said C? Oh, that's really good to see. I'm fully relieved. Okay, number two. The stone struck the image on its. How many of you need a long time to answer this one? Are you all done?
Yeah.
Who's not? All right, what is it? Yeah, okay. I wasn't going to dilly-dally. We hammered that one, didn't we? So number three, destruction by the stone meant that the earth would be smashed to pieces by collision with another planet, that the human race would destroy itself in the end, or that man's kingdom would be brought to an end by God. Which one do you think it is?
See?
What's Spanish for yes? See? That's correct. You see, that's yes. All right. Four. God's everlasting kingdom will be only in heaven, only on earth, and this actually got a mention just towards the end there, or on earth and throughout the whole universe. Which one do you think? C. Everybody likes C. You all agree with C?
Yes.
C. There we go. It is. All right, number five. Daniel's interpretation of the image was certain and sure, 50% accurate, or proved by history to be somewhat wrong. What do you think? Who says C? Oh, it's all A, is it? Okay, you change your minds now. Nobody wants C anymore? All right, A. There you go. All right, now for the last one. All right. When Christ, I know. When Christ returns, and you know, it's interesting that you're laughing, but there are some people out there that think things like this, and yet, when you do the study properly, it's really clear what the answer is, but they just don't get it. When Christ returns, he will first appear in the desert in the Middle East. Trust me, there are people that think this. Yeah, will he be in the heavens from space with power and glory? Or will he be in the United Nations Assembly? So we all wholeheartedly agree that the answer is B. Okay, who did not get 6 out of 6? That was the easiest quiz I have ever done in my entire life. Who did not get 6 out of 6? All right. Well, any questions? Any questions? On this particular lesson. Don't ask me about next lessons. We haven't done them yet. All right, then. Yeah, and on the envelope, you put your quiz score. Where it says score, just put a big 6, a big number 6. But make sure you put your name, Because one thing I cannot do is interpret. I don't have the gift of clairvoyancy when I'm touching an envelope. Okay? So, please do that. All right. So, I thank you for coming and attending this lesson. It's been a joy to have you. We invite you to our next one for Tuesday night. It's the Saga of the Golden Idol. We're now continuing, so this is Daniel chapter 3, but it's the Saga of the Golden Idol. By the way, this means that Nebuchadnezzar did believe the dream because he tried to reinterpret it. Interesting concept. Doesn't mean that he believed in God. I think he believed the dream. Okay, I'm just saying that, but we'll discuss more Tuesday night. Okay, all right, can we make sure that everybody's got one of those, please? Lesson 4. My ushers aren't here today, so. Okay, Helen, Clive, no, oh, it's okay. Oh, good. Yeah, get 4 and 5.
We'll be here Tuesday. Yes.
In the box is number 5 as well, Clive. Oh, if you're going to be here Tuesday. Get 5 and 6 then. Okay, do that then. So if you can't make it Tuesday night, grab 2 so that you're here for next Sabbath afternoon. Always make sure there's extras, carry forward, all right? It's in the cardboard box, Clive. They're in no special order, sadly. It's just a lot of them in there. Well, while Clive's doing that, I'll give you 5 early minutes. Why don't we have a word of prayer now and close, and then we will allow these to come out. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your presence with us. And Lord, we smiled a bit and we laughed a little, but Father, we know how serious these prophecies are. You wouldn't be sharing them with us unless you loved us so much that you wish to see us all in the kingdom. So bless each and every one of those who are studying it. Anybody listening on the radio, if they're tuning in, Lord, bless them as well. And Father, we just really want to have as many facts as possible, as much information, so that we know what we need to do in order to have this relationship with Jesus so that we can be ready for him when he comes. So, Lord, bless each and every one of us. Give us safe travel towards our homes, please. Bring us back safely to our next seminar and bless our homes. Watch over them too. Keep the evil one away is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Good afternoon and God bless each of you. Thank you.